walks in, pauses, looks at the class for a long moment. "You know, I've been teaching for 40 years. And every once in a while, I get to a lecture that I think is the hinge. The point where everything that came before connects to everything that comes after. This is one of those lectures. So put your phones away. Actually put them away." Writes on the board, level 1 and level 2. "We've been quietly shifting gears over the past few weeks, and I want to make that shift explicit today. Because if you miss this, you'll be confused for the rest of the semester. In Book 1, last semester, we talked about elimination acting on descriptions. On rules. On laws. On the mathematical relationships that govern how things move and interact. That elimination asks, is this rule consistent? Does it contradict itself? Can it survive its own application? That's level 1. Physical admissibility. It filters what can exist at all. But now we're talking about something different. We're talking about elimination acting on organizations. On patterns. On relationships that persist across time. That elimination asks, can this arrangement maintain itself? Can it stay coordinated? Can it survive noise and error and the passage of time? That's level 2. Organizational survivability. It filters what can persist. These are not the same thing. And confusing them leads to endless muddles. Sit on the desk. Let me make this concrete. What's the difference between a rock and a cell? A rock is an object. It's a configuration of matter. Atoms arranged in a particular way. If you want to destroy a rock, you break it. You apply force until it comes apart. A cell is an organization. It's not just a configuration of matter, it's a pattern of relationships that maintains itself through constant change. The atoms in a cell are being replaced all the time. Molecules flow in, molecules flow out. The matter is constantly changing. What persists is the pattern. The coordination. The relationships. If you want to destroy a cell, you don't necessarily have to break it physically. You just have to disrupt the coordination. Poison a key enzyme. Block a signaling pathway. Interfere with timing. The matter is all still there. But the organization is gone. A rock fails by breaking. A cell fails by losing coordination. Different failure modes. Different filters. Stands up, paces. Here's level 1 elimination. The stuff from last semester. At this level, structures must obey conservation laws. Energy can't appear from nowhere. Momentum balances. Charge is conserved. They must respect locality. Effects can't travel faster than light. Distant events can't instantly influence each other. They must evolve consistently in time. The state now must lead coherently to the state later. Anything that violates these constraints is impossible. Not just rare. Not just unlikely. Impossible. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. This level never goes away. It's always operating. It's the floor. Turns to face the class. Now here's level 2 elimination. The new stuff. At this level, organizations must maintain internal coordination. Parts have to work together. Timing has to align. Signals have to propagate correctly. They must tolerate noise and delay. The real world is messy. There's always static, always lag, always imprecision. They must prevent error cascades. Small mistakes can't be allowed to amplify into catastrophic failures. They must repair or root around damage. Things break. What matters is whether the organization can keep functioning anyway. Failure at this level doesn't violate physics. A cell that dies hasn't broken any law of nature. Every atom in that dead cell is still obeying physics perfectly. Nothing impossible happened. But the organization is gone. The coordination collapsed. The pattern couldn't maintain itself. Level 1 filters what's possible. Level 2 filters what persists. Leans against the board. Now, why am I so insistent on separating these levels? Because when you mix them up, you get confused. And physicists get confused about this all the time. Here are the confusions. First confusion, thinking that physical law causes organization. The laws of physics made life inevitable. No. The laws of physics permit life. They don't guarantee it. Permission and causation are not the same thing. Second confusion, thinking that organization rewrites physical law. Living things transcend physics. Consciousness operates outside normal causation. No. Organizations are fully compatible with physics. They don't violate any laws. They just satisfy additional constraints on top of the physical ones. Third confusion, treating emergence as violation rather than filtration. How can complexity emerge from simple rules? There must be something extra. No. Complexity doesn't require new laws. It requires new filters. Level 2 elimination shapes what level 1 allows. Keep the levels separate, and these confusions dissolve. Paces thoughtfully. Now, here's something subtle that I want to address. It's tempting to call level 2 elimination selection. Natural selection. Survival of the fittest. Competition among alternatives. Resist that temptation. Selection implies that alternatives are evaluated simultaneously. That there's competition. That something is being optimized. None of that is required here. Organizations disappear simply because they cannot remain coherent. A cell doesn't die because it lost to another cell. It dies because it couldn't maintain coordination. The failure is internal, not comparative. No competition is needed. No evaluation. No goal. This is elimination, not selection. The distinction matters because selection sneaks teleology back in. It implies something is being selected for. Elimination implies only that some things fail. Stops at the window. Here's something that trips people up. Surviving organizations often look purposeful. They maintain boundaries, like they're trying to keep themselves separate from the environment. They regulate internal states, like they're trying to stay in balance. They respond to perturbations, like they care about persistence. This appearance is misleading. It's not that organizations have purposes. It's that organizations without these behaviors don't survive long enough for us to observe them. Purpose is not a cause. It's a symptom of survivability. We're not seeing things that want to persist. We're seeing the only things that can persist. They look like they're striving because striving-shaped structures are the ones that make it through the filter. Returns to the desk, sits. Okay. What's the central pressure at level 2? What's the thing that most organizations are fighting against? Error. Not measurement error. Not human error. Error in coordination. Small mismatches in timing. Signals that arrive slightly wrong. Structural inconsistencies that accumulate. Tiny deviations that, left unchecked, grow. At level 1, we worried about contradictions in the laws themselves. At level 2, we worry about contradictions in the operation. Parts that drift out of sync. Processes that interfere with each other. Feedback loops that diverge instead of stabilize. Error is relentless. It's always there. Every real system is constantly being pushed toward failure by accumulated error. Organizations that don't manage error fail quickly. The ones we observe are the ones that found ways to contain it. Leans forward. This is why memory becomes necessary. At level 1, memory is irrelevant. A law doesn't need to remember what happened yesterday. It just operates the same way every time. At level 2, memory is essential. To manage error, you have to recognize deviation. This is different from what it should be. That requires comparison. that requires remembering what should be looks like. To restore coordination, you have to know what coordination looked like before it was disrupted. That requires memory. To avoid repeated failure, you have to remember what failed. We tried that. It didn't work. That requires memory. Memory is not optional at this level. It's the minimal response to accumulated error. Any organization without memory can't correct mistakes. It just drifts until it collapses. Stands up, energy rising. Now here's where it gets really interesting. At first, elimination is external. Things collapse because the environment changes. Conditions shift. The organization couldn't handle it. But as organization deepens, something remarkable happens. Elimination moves inside. The organization starts eliminating its own failures. Internal processes detect deviation. Internal mechanisms correct errors. Internal feedback suppresses instability. The organization becomes, in a sense, its own consistency filter. This is a turning point. This is where organizations start to look autonomous. They're not just passively surviving external elimination. They're actively eliminating internal failures. They're running a version of FI on themselves, continuously, from the inside. Pauses, let that sink in. I want you to feel the weight of that. A cell is not just allowed by physics. It's not just surviving external conditions. It's actively checking its own DNA for errors. Actively degrading misfolded proteins. Actively regulating its own gene expression. It's eliminating inconsistency internally. Constantly. As part of its basic operation. That's why cells look purposeful. They're running continuous internal quality control. They're filtering themselves. Gathers notes. We haven't yet looked at how organizations implement this. What are the actual mechanisms? How does internal elimination work in practice? That's next. We're going to look at error correction, replication, and why copying isn't just about making more, it's about stabilizing what exists. But for today, I want you to hold on to this. Laws decide what may exist. Organization decides what can endure. Two levels. Two filters. Both essential. Neither reducible to the other. Get that straight, and everything else follows. Heads for the door. And yeah, you're very good too. I've had worse audiences. See you next week.